and welcome to season one, episode two of Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I am your host, Hope Dale, and
Christina Schulman, and today we are so excited to welcome Cassidy Nguyen with Sewing Seed Designs to the podcast. She was one of our really awesome vendors and sponsors at the Everything Embroidery Market in Biloxi this last September, and we're so excited to have her here today. So Cassidy, if you don't mind, if you'll just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the business of Sewing Seeds Designs, tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, my business name, as she said, is Sewing Seeds Designs, and I am a digitizer. What that means is I create really fun, cute applique designs that you can stitch out on your machine.
How did you get into the business?
Well, I'm actually not new to the embroidery business. I've been in the embroidery business for 9 years now, and 7 years I did it for the public, custom orders. And I saw very quickly that time is money in this business, and that there was a need to design quick stitch applique designs that you can get on and off your machine quickly, because time is money. So I started digitizing and creating my own designs that all of our designs stitch in 15 minutes or less, so you can make money in this business.
Okay. I love that so much. I think a lot of people can feel that on so many levels, because there's a lot of things in this world that can draw your attention, or should draw your attention, or maybe they shouldn't. Do you have any tips to stay organized in business or personally?
Yes, I feel like it's very important to set boundaries. With the holidays coming up, you're going to have tons of orders coming in, and you need to set boundaries and cutoffs. I feel that family time is very important, and I can relate to you because I am such a yes girl. And for so many years, I would just say yes and take on all these orders, and there wasn't enough time to complete it. I would literally stay up 3 nights, and I was Santa Claus and even the Easter Bunny, hand delivering packages, wrapped gifts to their front porch to meet deadlines. So make sure you set boundaries and cutoff dates for these holidays, because so many people are last minute and they are going to want to come to you, but know that your family time is important too.
Right. And it's okay to say no. Actually,
absolutely.
It's important to say no. And even if it's your best friend or someone off the street, it doesn't matter. You need to say no. Sometimes people will jump in there and just ask really nicely, and you feel in your heart that you have to say yes, but it's not worth it, right? That hour or 15 minutes in your case, if you're stitching one of your designs, you can't get that back. And the holidays for me also is about family, and I don't want to miss that smile on my kiddo's face, even just a minute of joy that comes during that time. So I think you're right on, setting boundaries is super, super important.
And I think customers, I mean, they would rather you say no up front than later be, it's amazing that you hand delivered things, but they don't want to be on the line either. Like, what if they had to go out of town, or what if, you know, they're deadline, they told you a deadline, but really it was a little bit before that, or, you know, they ended up leaving to go out of town sooner than they thought they would, or something like that. I mean, I think it's really good to set those boundaries for you and for the customer, because they don't want to be on the line either. I mean, it's just a better, I don't ever think anything when someone says, hey, my cutoff is, you know, 12:05 to accept orders, or I've already, you know, my store is closed. Like, I can't do anymore. Like, people understand. And I'd rather that up front.
I agree. I feel like they would respect you if you just told them that your cutoff was done, versus telling them you can meet a deadline and then coming back and not being able to meet that deadline.
Right.
Yes. And to even add to that, I almost feel like your deadline should be pushed forward more than you normally would with the shipping delays and the delays with products. Everyone is feeling that right now. You know, it's hard to get things. And if you can actually get your hands on it through online ordering or whatnot, that doesn't mean that it's going to get to you when they say it's going to. Packages get lost and whatnot. So don't be afraid to say no. Set that boundary, because you will be happier in the long run. That buck and that time isn't worth it. So along those lines, what would be your top three things you would plan and organize your business to start the new year off right?
Well, to begin with, I would like to start with your roots. My motivation is my 9-year-old. I have to provide for us. So she's my motivation and keeps me going. And also, I want you to be able to, when times get stressful, like during the holidays here, be able to reflect back to your why you started this, because there are going to be times that you're drowning and you need to remember why you started this in the first place. Number two would be list goals. And I mean simple goals, not goals that are so far-fetched and unreachable. You don't get rich overnight. You need to have a system in place. So maybe it's you don't have a very good system right now and you just need to get more organized by creating new order forms. Or maybe you don't have a very good, maybe your simple goal could be you don't have a very good system in place right now and you need to create some order forms. Or maybe it is that you need to create a website that you're growing so quickly, and this text message, this Facebook message, this Instagram message, all these orders are all running together, that maybe you need to have one location that all your orders go through. So maybe just set simple goals that you can achieve. It's slow and steady. And once you achieve those, then you can start another goal. Number three would be go outside your comfort zone. Maybe it is this year you really want to grow your business, but you've not ever done a Facebook Live, an Instagram Live. Maybe it is you want to up your photography, because we all know presentation is key. And if your photos are not showing you exactly how cute that product is, someone's probably not going to order it. So maybe you want to step outside your comfort zone and maybe take a photography class, or buy some new photo props. Or maybe, like I said earlier, maybe you want to step a leap of faith and do an online website and not just be a local shop. Or maybe open a brick and mortar shop. Whatever it can be, step outside your comfort zone.
I agree with all three of those. And I can tell you that if you don't have the processes in place, everything crumbles, or at least it may be on the outside. It doesn't look like that, but you feel like it is, right? Because you're grasping, you're doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that. And if you just take a moment and you get organized, right? And you have a set way of doing things and people know your process, things will run smoother. It will take less time. I feel that on so many levels. And then also for me, stepping outside my comfort zone has been time and time again what I feel like has not only helped our business or businesses now, but catapulted them into something that I didn't know they would be, right? Because you may start somewhere and, go a little bit out of your comfort zone and figure out, ooh, that was better. I like it more. Maybe it's more profitable, or maybe it sparks an idea and then you end up somewhere completely different. And you would never, ever have been there had you not jumped out and tried something new. So that's really, really good.
Can I share something on that point?
Yes.
Stepping outside your comfort zone was like the whole reason Sowing Seeds was started, because like I said, I wanted to create and design, but I had no training. So therefore I had so much self-doubt, like no one's going to want these designs. And for so long, it actually was my stumbling block. And once I finally stepped outside my comfort zone and started putting my designs out there, and I started on Etsy. I only had just a few, and I did not make much at first, that I almost gave up and wanted to quit. But when that moment came, God would put somebody on Etsy that would send me a message and be like, I love the style of your designs. Are you going to come out with some new designs? And it would push and motivate me to come out with new. And it would also help me with my confidence. Well, maybe I am good enough to do this. So don't ever doubt yourself. Everybody starts somewhere, and you just have to get started.
That's like little nuggets. And I hear that a lot with different customers that we have that are like, they think maybe that the market's saturated in whatever field it is that they're selling. But I want to also add just a little bit here that my biggest thing is community over competition. And I think that there is room for everybody, because every single person is unique and special. And even if I'm selling the same white shirt that you are, someone's going to buy from me and someone's going to buy from you, because we bring different things to the table. Maybe it's the way I package it, or the way I describe it, or the way you photograph it, or the way you wear it. It doesn't matter. If you put yourself out there, there's room for you to continue to grow. So I love that so much. So when you are sitting down to a typical work week or month or year, do you break it down like that, daily, monthly, weekly, or do you look at the big picture?
Well, I wish I was organized enough to say I have a daily goal. I'm not that organized. However, I do like simple, reachable goals. So I'm more of a weekly and monthly goal person. I will, at the beginning of the year, set a yearly goal, like a big goal, but as far as, you know, throughout the entire year, I'm a weekly or monthly. Weekly is pretty much like, how many designs do I want to put out this week? And I try to achieve that. There are some times that I do not. And I want you to know that that's okay, because things happen sometimes. And just because you don't hit something doesn't mean next week that you can't hit it. And when, as far as it comes with monthly, my monthly goals are kind of like my budget goals. I feel like it's important to have a budget. You need to know your overhead and your expenses and how much you need to bring in, because most people do this as an income. Either you're a stay-at-home mom trying to help supplement the income, or you can stay home with your baby, or maybe you're a single mama like me and I'm just having to pay the bills. So I have a monthly budget goal that I want to try to make sure I'm on point.
I agree. I feel like small weekly and monthly those goals are attainable. You can see those. And yes, sometimes life happens and you don't reach those goals, but it's good to keep you on track and on pace for your yearly goal. Because if you just have a yearly goal and you're like, you know, then you're kind of floundering to get to it because you haven't made those stepping stones to make it achievable.
Right. And it feels
so
far away.
This one and that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels so far away, and it's hard to get to that end finish line when it's so far away.
Right. It just seems like it's not attainable when you say, I want to do this. But if you make 12 goals to get to your yearly goal, then that just seems, and they're building, I mean, it just makes it bite-sized chunks.
Yes. And
slow and steady.
Right. Slow and steady. And there's going to be times when you don't reach that goal, and that's okay. You have, even if some, like in the moment, it feels a bit like a failure, you give yourself grace, you pick yourself up and you keep going, because there's another goal right behind it and you can reach it. It's when you stop, then you won't reach any of them. Right. So I think grace is key when you are running a business, for sure. How do you let your creativity lead your business?
Well, my creativity is totally my driving point with Sowing Seeds, because I am so thankful and blessed that God has got me to where I am, because I love what I do. I get to create and design cute designs. And I could not have sowing seeds if I weren't creative. I come from a very artistic family. My parents had four kids and we didn't have a lot, but we had everything. But when it came to like school projects, like science fair or different things, my parents couldn't afford for all four of us to go to Hobby Lobby, buy the little cutout letters or all the cutesy things. We had to like make something out of nothing. And all my life I've had to do that. And, but that's where creativity comes in. And some of your best work is when you have to think outside the box.
Right. You buckle up those boots and you figure it out. Right.
Right.
And that's really, really good. I love that.
When I first started, I had a Brother PE770 single needle machine that I did custom work on for 3 or 4 years before I ever moved up to a bigger machine, because I'm going to be honest, it took every bit of money I had to buy that PE770. And if you can just get creative, people did not realize that I had a really tiny machine that only did a 5x7. And when you're talking about a 5x7 hoop size, that is so tiny. But work your way up. Like, you don't have to start off big or grand. If you are creative and artsy, you can use whatever you have means to get started, and then you can grow from there. Like, I didn't just start off with a fancy machine. I didn't have money to go or be able to, like, if I added another payment, a finance payment of a 10 needle machine when I first started, I mean, that would have been super scary for me. God did open the door 3 or 4 years later, but I still didn't have the money to buy it all cash, if I'm being very honest and clear. Pray about it if it's something you want to step out in faith. And if he leads you there, he's going to provide a way and make it happen. It's faith over fear.
100%. I also too started with that same machine.
Yes. Yes. You know, you relate. Yes.
Yes, I do. And when I pull it out now, it's got like the 504 spray. What's 505?
505 spray. Yes. Yes.
All over it. Like, it's like, yes. It's not sticky anymore, but you can feel it. And there's like, yes.
Because you had to float everything on that machine. But if you get creative, you can totally do it. Like, there was times I had to hoop twice. I would do the design, the 5x7, and I'd hoop it again just to stitch the name where it looked bigger. Just get creative and use what sources you have, and you can grow from there. Just get started.
Yes, I did that. And then I got the repositional frame. I was feeling fancy when I got that. I was like, ooh, look, I can just reposition that. So,
and that was perfect for like applique baby names down a gown.
Yes.
Because you could go longer with it. Yes, I had one of those too.
Yes, I love that. So you joined us at Market, at Everything Embroidery Market. I think you said that that was your first market to go to, right?
Correct. Yes, that was my first.
Yeah. So when you were planning to go, how did you organize that? Because your booth was beautiful. It was like perfect. How did you undertake that? How did you start that organization and planning to get ready for the show?
Well, it was my first show, like you said, so I wasn't sure what to expect. But I did the best that I could by going ahead and starting to organize how I was going to display all of my merchandise. And being a digital goods product, I had to get real creative of how I was going to display that for everyone to see. And presentation is key. So if you are going to set up at one of these booths, or even if it's a craft fair, let's just say, make sure that you really think about your display, because that's what's going to attract people to your booth. And then hopefully be able to sell product or whatever you do.
Yeah. So I think it goes farther than just market, right? Like, it's so super, you're at market to sell and to meet your customers. But also, if you're going to post it on Instagram or Etsy or Facebook or your website, take the time to slow down and present it in a way that you're proud of. Take that picture. Use the props, even if it's your little girl's hair bow or whatever, make it something that you're proud of and draws people's eye. Going back to your booth, if you weren't at Everything Embroidery Market, I'm just going to paint you a quick little picture. So she had a white wall that it was one large back wall, and I believe there were two half walls that kind of went off in diagonals. And then she made, it was basically a wall of frames. The entire wall was framed, and she had in each of the frames from top to bottom, one of her designs were showcased. And she didn't stop there, right? She had a beautiful table in the middle where she displayed some product, and she had shirts, and she had stuff that she had stitched out on the other side of the wall. She used every inch, but it was very eye-catching. And people, as they walked by, you had to stop, right? Like, it wasn't, and that's what you want anytime you're selling. If you have a brick and mortar, or you have a website, or you have a pop-up shop, you want someone to glance, see your stuff for 1 second and stop. And you nailed it. Like, you truly nailed it. So
Thank you. I'm extra, but I've always made something out of nothing, like I said. So I just had to get real creative of how to display my designs out there.
I'll tell you what, I need to step up my game. My little fire shelves aren't cutting it. We also sprung on Miss Cassidy, teaching two extra classes, right? Was it two?
It was one extra. Okay. I had one, and then the photography one. Yes.
Yes. And she did an awesome job planning on the fly, but I know that you took a lot of time and energy planning for that class ahead of time. Do you have any tips or anything that you can add as far as how you did that to make sure that you were ready?
Yeah, so I took a lot of time because I wanted my attendees that were in my class, I wanted to make sure that they really got some valuable information. I wanted to be super transparent with them that I am no superhero up here acting like I am perfect and I've always run a smooth business. So I definitely told them things not to do that I learned, more not to do things than probably the better. I was not only planning for the displays, but I also was planning because I had the privilege of teaching. And that was my favorite part, was being able to teach and meet customers.
Well, I'm right there with you. And I'm so excited that you're going to be joining us in Chattanooga. If you aren't aware, we're going to be, Everything Embroidery Market is going to be in Chattanooga the last weekend in April, and Miss Cassidy will be there, and we are so excited to have her there again. She also joined us officially, I believe, at EM Connect, which is our new platform to just create a community of like-minded people, artisans, people that make things with their hands. The hope is that you will be able to connect, like you said, meet those people that do things similar to you, and also be able to bridge that gap between the vendor and the consumer, and just bring you guys together in a community of learning and joy, because all of us are in this space because we enjoy some aspect of it. And I am excited that Cassidy will be there with us as we figure out the journey and bring everyone together. Do you have anything else that you would like to add as a vendor or as someone that has been in the industry for many years, just to bring any kind of perspective or anything to our listeners?
Well, I would say be true to yourself. And like I had discussed earlier, make sure you determine your why, because you will have to go back to that at some point in the business of why you do this. Because there's going to be times that you're going to feel defeated. There's going to be times that you just want to throw in the towel and quit, because you're going to have difficult customers sometimes that you have to deal with. And remember that why. Remember why you started it. Remember why you continue to do it.
I love that. I love that. A little bit. No, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know that sometimes it's hard to sneak away from life and business, and I very much appreciate you just hopping in and coming on board with Everything Embroidery Market, EEM Connect, and now the podcast, just full force. I can't express my gratitude enough. And if you guys are in the market for some quick stitch, beautiful designs, make sure you head over to sewingseeddesigns.com. Cassidy has some really good ones for you. She does new releases, I believe it's every week. Join her on her Facebook group. And she has text alerts too, which is really awesome. So just jump over there when you get a second and check out everything that she has to offer. When you're done with that, if you'll jump over to our website at emshows.com, you can join us at Everything Embroidery Market at our in-person show in Chattanooga, the end of April. Registration is not open yet, but it will be here in a couple weeks. So join our, what is it, our mailing list for official announcement of that registration opening. And you can also join the community at EEM Connect in the top right corner at our website. So thank you so much. Hope, take it away.